Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Megillah Daf Tes. We're beginning already about 17 lines down from the top, Tes Omer Aleph, with a second teretz to the question that we had yesterday. We'll begin with the words Rav Ashi Omar and remind ourselves that yesterday we had a stira between the Mishnah and the Braisa that we brought down. Our Mishnah had said that one was permitted to go write down Sefer, Svarim, with any language that they wanted to. Elasha Svarim, Nechtovim, Bechol, Lashon. As opposed to Tefillin Mezuzos, Einu Nechtovitz El Ashuris. So the Tana of our Mishnah had said that you could write Svarim, Sifrei Torah, Tanakh, in any language that you wanted. However, the Braisa brought down, and the Braisa said that no, you weren't allowed to do that. Achiyachtevenu Bichsav Ashuris Al HaSefer Vidio, that you had to go and write Svarim only with Ksav Ashuris on a Sefer, on a cloth, Ubidio. So obviously, the Braisa and the Mishnah seem to be at odds with each other. So we'd given the Teretz yesterday. That was most of the first part of Tes Omet Aleph that we read yesterday. And now we begin 17 lines down from the top by the words Rav Ashi Amar. This is the second Teretz to reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, Ki Tanya Hahi, when this Braisa is saying that you're only allowed to write it in Ksav Ashuris Al Haklaf Bidio, that's referring to Bishar's form. The Braisa is saying that you must write it b'ksav ashuris on klaf and on dio, so that's referring to not a Sefer Torah, but it's referring to Nach and the Megillos, the Ksuvim, but not in regards to a Sefer Torah. And it goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Yehudi, which we'll flesh out in a moment what that is, because we're going to allow another Braisa where we'll see that this is the way that that should be understood, the Tanya, because we're learning another Braisa. Tefillin u'mezuzos ein nechtovin elo ashuris. Tefillin and mezuzos must be written only in Ksav Ashuris, and the Rabboseinu, Rashi explains, Rabboseinu here refers to Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Rabboseinu, Hitiru Yevonis. They allowed them to also be written in Yevonis. Now the Gemara questions is, really? You're allowed to write Tefillin and mezuzos in Yevonis? Could Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel really have said that? Well, Ksiv, the Pasuk says, So Tefillin and mezuzos has to be v'hayu, which implies that it has to be written, that it has to be written exactly as they were said. So it has to be in the Hebrew language, and it has to be in Ksav Ashuris, Aleklav, and Ubidio. So therefore, the Gemara says, you're right, Taka, that's not the way you should understand the Braisa. Ela Ema, Svarim Nechtovim B'chol Lashon. The Tanakhama says that Svarim can be written in any language. However, V'rabo Seinu Hitirim Yevonis, and the rabbis printed them in Yevonis. Now, we'll have to explain what this means, because the Gemara says, Hitiru, the rabbis, Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, was matir to write it in Yevonis. That implies that the Tanakhama was osar. He tiru michal the Tanakhama osar, but that's not what it said. It said a minute ago, svarim nechtovim b'chol lashon. The Tanakhama holds you can write it in any lashon. So that's not the right understanding of the Braisa. So finally, we get to the right understanding of this Braisa. Ela ema, what the Braisa is telling us is Rabboseinu lo hitiru sheikosu ela Yevonis. The Tanakhama of this Braisa says svarim nechtovim b'chol lashon, and along comes Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, Rabboseinu, and they say only hitiru be Yevonis. Only Yevonis is allowed to be written these types of svarim. Svarim nechtovim b'chol lashon was the din, but the Rabboseinu came along and said only Yevonis. The Tanya, and another Braisa says, and here we introduce Rabbi Yehuda, the Amar Rabbi Yehuda in this Braisa, even though Av Kishei Tiru Rabboseinu Yevonis, even though the rabbis permitted you to use only the Yevonis type of lashon, lo yitiru ela b'sefer Torah, and that they only permitted it on a Sefer Torah and not on Shar Svarim, not on Navi or the Ksuvim, the Megillos. And now we understand what Ravashi said. That Braisa that we were referring to that said that you must write it in Ksav Ashuris on a Sefer with cloth and Dio is referring to, again, Navi and Ksuvim, the Megillos, but not a Sefer Torah. Oh, and our Mishnah was talking about a Sefer Torah, and therefore there's no stira between the original Braisa that was the question, the stira on the Mishnah. And that's because Rabbi Yehuda understands this in this way, that there was a special dispensation only, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel, for Yevonis. And that is because of the Maisa Shehoya Loitiru Ela Sefer Torah, or Mishom Maisa de Talmai HaMelech. And the famous story of the Septuagint, the Targum Shivim, which we just had Asar B'Teves, but as I had mentioned in Shul, there was a series of 3 days of fasting that they originally had. The 8th of Teves, which was the day that the Targum Shivim which the story we're going to have right now, occurred, and that was considered a very terrible day for the Chai Yisrael, a day of darkness on the world for 3 days, which started on Ches of Teves. The ninth of Teves was a fast day as well for either the death of Ezra Hanavi, commemorating that loss, the great loss to Chai Yisrael of Ezra HaSofer. Others bring down that there was a deeper understanding, which Chazal did not talk about, that one of the Tanoim, so to say, went undercover and was able to go and accomplish that there shouldn't be a huge period in Klai Yisrael, could have caused a huge problem in Klai Yisrael, and this Tana did certain things to make sure that this period didn't take place. It's a whole separate share, a whole separate discussion, very, very interesting discussion. That is the fast of the ninth of Tevis, and of course the Sarva Tevis, we know that was the start, Aschalta de Peronusa, that we just learned about in Gemara and Tainis, that the five terrible things that happened on Tisha B'Av and on Shavuos Batamas, and the Asar B'Teves was the start of the siege of Yerushalayim in the first base of Mikdash. In any event, this terrible event on the 8th of Teves was with Talmai HaMelech. There were potentially two different stories that are discussed about Talmai HaMelech. One may have been Talmai HaMelech himself, one may have been the son of Talmai HaMelech. In any event, we're going to follow the gear so that we have. There are other places where the story is found with slightly different gears. So we'll follow our gears right here now, which says the Mice of Talmai HaMelech. What happened? Shekines, he gathered together Shivim Ushnaim Zekanim, 72 Zekanim. The Mepharshim bring down where to get this number 72 from. So it was really the Sanhedrin, the 71 of the Sanhedrin, and plus there was always a chosh of a person in the Sanhedrin that was counted like the head of the Sanhedrin who was above and beyond. So that's where you got the idea of 72 from. In any event, he gathered 72 of the Gedolei Klai Yisrael Zekanim, and he put them into 72 separate rooms, b'shivim u'shnayim batim, and he wanted each of them to give a translation of the Torah into Greek. When he put them in the separate rooms, he didn't tell them what they were doing, so they wouldn't have a chance to plan it out, that they would all translate certain words in certain ways, and this way he could get what he felt would be a very accurate translation of the Chumash into Greek. And he went into each one of these 72 tzaddikim, these 72 zakenim, and Amalem, and he told them, Kisuli Torahs Moshe Rabchem, go and translate for me Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah into Greek. And Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vulev Kol Echav Yechad Eitza, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu arranged that he put into their minds an Eitza. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them how to translate all of the 72, these tzadzikim, these zakenim, to make sure they came up with the same translation. V'skimu kula l'das achas, and they all came up, each one on his own. They weren't able to talk to each other, but nevertheless, each one made certain, quote, changes in the translation that would prevent any troubles from occurring, as we'll go through the changes that they made in a moment. And this way, they all were able to come up with the exact same translations that didn't change what the Torah said, but would remove any of the questions that Talmai HaMelech might have had if they had translated in the literal way. We understand many things in Chumash based upon the Mepharshim and based upon the Kabbalah and Masorah we have, but Talmai might not have accepted that, so therefore they just translated it straight like those Mepharshim explained. V'skimu kulam das achas. And they all translated it exactly the same. That in and of itself was a great miracle that they all agreed to the exact same translations, which of course was done through HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, what are some of the examples of the changes that they made? So Gemara is going to list a whole bunch of them. The Kosulo, and they translated it from Hebrew into Yevonis, into Greek, and this was some of the changes they made. It says, Bereishis Bara Elokim, but that could be misunderstood, Rachmana Litzlan. I'll tell you all the Pshatim over here that Rashi and other Mepharshim say outside. So they could have misunderstood that to say that this entity known as Bereishis was Bara, this entity known as Elokim, and that there was Rachmana Litzlan, two deities that control the world. So therefore, they translated it as Elokim, Bara, Bereishis, Es HaShemayim, Rashi says. So they said, in the beginning, the entity HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elokim created the whole world. Bara Bereishis in the beginning, Es HaShemayim. So this way there could be no mistranslations. I think that there was this entity called Bereishis that was Bara Elokim, because in their minds they would have said that God would write himself first in the Torah. So whoever's written first, Elokim, Bara Bereishis, oh, that makes sense. But they wouldn't have understood Bereishis, Bara Elokim. They would have said, no, Bereishis must be an entity. He would always put himself first. Another thing that they said is, instead of Nasa Adam Mitzalmenu, which implies, Rachmona Litzlan, that there are multiple deities Rachman al-Islam, we know that HaKadosh Baruch said Naseh to teach us an idea that one should always seek out the advice of other people, even though they're not as great as you, and even though you're making the decision, it's proper covered and it's appropriate way to talk to people. Naseh, let us make other mitzameinu. So instead, they said Es Adam, they translated it as I will make Adam, and it didn't say Bitzalmeinu Udmuseinu, because they could have misunderstood that to be that HaKadosh Baruch as a body is a corporeal human being, Rachmana Litzan. So that's something that's Yud Gimel Midos of the Rambam says HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have a guf and doesn't have a body, doesn't have human characteristics. We often anthropomorphize HaKadosh Baruch has a Yod HaChazakah, Zroah and a Tuya, and HaKadosh Baruch who spoke. It doesn't work that way. HaKadosh Baruch is not a human being. He's an entity that we can't understand. So therefore, they would have misunderstood that. So therefore, they wrote that I will create man with a tzelem and a dmus, with a certain shape, a certain form, and this way there would be no misunderstandings of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant, and it wouldn't lead to Rachman al-Islam apikorsus. So that's why they translated it that way. The next pasuk, instead of saying Vaychal Bayom Hashvi'i, Vaychal Elokim Bayom Hashvi'i, instead they said Vaychal Bayom Hashishi, that he finished all the work in the 6 days. And then Vayishbos Bayom Hashvi'i, he rested on the seventh day. Now that's what the pasuk really meant. But they would have misunderstood that. They would have said Vaychal Bayom Hashvi'i, that he somehow did creations also on Shabbos, on Yom Hashvi'i, which of course is not what the Torah means. So therefore they just said it straight out, that he finished the work on the 6 days and then he rested on the seventh day. Again, all of their translations were correct and accurate, but they were different than what the simple, straight understanding of the words of the Torah meant, because they would have been misunderstood. They wouldn't have understood it the way we understand it, and therefore they just translated it straight into what the taich of the psukim meant. The next was, it says, Zohar Unakeva Bara'om. It doesn't say that. It says, Zohar Unakeva Bira'o, Lo Kasu Bara'om. Here it has to tell us the correct translation, whereas by the other psukim it didn't tell us the correct translation, so Mefarshim point out, because there were two psukim over here, so it had to tell us which pasuk it was referring to. The lo kasvu bira'om, zohar unakeva bira'om, so instead it wrote zohar unakeva bira'o, he created him and not them, because they wouldn't have understood that originally man was created as a single entity that had two partsufim, two faces, and there was man on one side and woman on the other side as a single entity, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu split them apart and created Chava from Adam. In any event, that's why they said it, Zohar Nekeva Baro. He created man and he created woman. This way there would be no questions. Then it says, instead of Hovo Nerdo V'Novlo Shom Svosom, when they had the Migdal Bavel, when you had the Tower of Babel, so that Omaisa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's go down there and confuse him. So again, it's let us go down there, implying that HaKadosh Baruch Hu couldn't do it himself. So therefore, they changed the translation to Hovo Erdo, I will go down, the Evlo Shom Svasam, and I will go and make them all speak different languages. So therefore, that translation was the correct understanding. Then it says, Vatitzach Sarah Bikirba. Instead of that, they translated it Vatitzach Sarah Bikroveha, because they would have had a question, how come Sarah is punished, yet Avram is not punished, but they both did the same thing, because they both were tzocheach, they both were laughing, Bikirba, by themselves, internally, quietly. So why was Sarah punished and Avram was not? So the Mefarshim explained that Sarah was punished because she was not believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do this. And she laughed as a way of saying, nah, there's no way that that could happen. Whereas Abram, the Mephoshim, say, laughed out of joy that this was going to happen. So, therefore, they wouldn't have understood that. So, therefore, it says, Vatitzach Sarah Bikroveha. She publicly laughed in front of her relatives. Bikroveha means her relatives. And therefore, that's why Sarah would be punished and Abram was not punished, because they really did something that was different. But they translated it this way to make sure that there wouldn't be a misunderstanding by the Talmai and his colleagues. Then it says, Ki bi'apam hargu ish, it should be, u'biritzon akru shar. So they translated this, ki bi'apam hargu shar, u'biritzonam ikru evus. Because if they had Yaakov Avinu saying that Shimon and Levi actually killed people, so then they could have said, well, whoever paid for that, and we have to go and take it out on you, and this could lead to persecutions. So therefore, they translated it that they killed in their anger a shar, and they uprooted over here the trough by which the animals eat. So that wouldn't be such a big deal, and therefore the Yevanim wouldn't go and get upset at the Jewish people. Finally, the pasuk says, "Vayikach Moshe es ishto v'es banav v'yarkiveim al chamor." So it says, in the Torah that he traveled with them on a donkey. Now, that's not a very prestigious type of an animal. So therefore, they translated that instead to Vayarkivim al Nose Bnei Adam, on appropriate vehicle, that were an appropriate animal that carries people. And this way, it doesn't look like Moshe Rabbeinu is not a B'chavadik, a great leader, because their great leaders would go on a camel or on a horse. And instead, Moshe Rabbeinu traveled on a chamar, so therefore, they changed that gear saw around. The next translation, so instead of writing, U'moshav bnei Yisrael asher yoshu b'mitzrayim shloshim shana v'arba'mio shana, 430 years, so instead they wrote that U'moshav bnei Yisrael asher yoshu b'mitzrayim u'bishar arotzos arba'mio shana. Now some have the gears over here that it was also b'shar arotzos shloshim shana v'dalamio shana. So some have the gears so that they didn't change around the number, they just added the word b'shar arotzos. And what was the purpose of that? Because if you calculated it out, there was no way that they were in Mitzrayim from the time of Yaakov going down to Mitzrayim for 430 years. But they would not have understood that that calculation actually started from the Bris Bein HaBesarim. It's 430 years from the Bris Bein HaBesarim until Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that's where you get the 430 years for. So therefore, they just said that they were B'shar HaRatzos, so this way there wouldn't be a problem in their calculations. And it really was true, because they weren't in Canaan, in Eretz Yisrael, for a period of that 430 years. Finally, one more or two more translations. It says, Vayishlach es Zatute b'nei Yisrael instead of Nare b'nei Yisrael. And similarly, it says, the El Zatute b'nei Yisrael, which should have been El Nare Atzile b'nei Yisrael, which was the Narim, lo asa lo shalach yodo. So they changed these words around. Instead of saying the word Nar or Atzile, so they said Zatute. So the purpose here to change this around is that Rashi points out that the word Zatute is a Loshon of Chashivus, but the word Nare implies not such a chosh of a people. And Vayomer, Gruim Shaluchem, Shlachtim Lekabel Pnei Ashkina. They would have misunderstood and said, you didn't send proper representatives. You didn't send Zatute, you sent Nare. So you send less than stellar representatives to greet the Shechina. That's not right. And therefore, they changed that word around. And similarly, V'el Atzilei B'nei Yisrael. So in that same parasha, Rashi says, B'osa parasha Atzma, they changed it around. L'fisha kosu zatute. So, Tchila chozu v'kosum kishmom harishom v'lo kosu v'el Atzilei B'nei Yisrael. So since they had written the word Zatute before, and so they wrote the word Zatute again over here instead of Atzile b'nei Yisrael, which Atzile would have been a good word, but they didn't want to change the Lashon around and have one place Zatute and one point Atzile, so therefore they wrote both times Zatute. Tosus asks an interesting question. What was wrong with using Atzile then both times? Instead of saying Vayishlach as Zatute, they should have said Vayishlach as Atzile b'nei Yisrael. So Tosus points out that that technically would have been incorrect, because they didn't want to go and change around actual falsehood. They didn't want to say anything that's not true. And Atzile, they weren't Atzile, they were Nare. So therefore, they didn't want to change that around. So therefore, they wrote both times Zatute. Continues telling us some of the changes as we turn to Tesla Mibes, some of the additional changes that the Targum Shivim made, that the 72 Zakenim made. So it says, Lo Chamor Echad Mehem Nosati. It says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I didn't take even a donkey from you. So they would have misunderstood that and said, oh, you didn't take a donkey. Yeah, but he stole something else. So therefore, they changed it around to Lo Chemet. Chemet is a desired thing. Chemda. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, they changed it around and said, I didn't take anything from you, and they would have not made a misunderstanding and said, oh, yeah, donkey didn't take, but he took something else. Likewise, it says, Asher cholak Hashem Elokecha, the Pasuk says, Osom l'chol hu'amim tachas chol ha'shamoyim. So what does that mean? The way the Pasuk is written, it looks like Asher cholak Hashem Elokecha Osom, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to them. And what did he do? L'chol ho'amim, tachas kol ha'shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to them the stars, and they would have misunderstood that they were allowed to worship the stars. So therefore, he wrote, the Targum Shivim, all the Zakenim wrote, L'ha'ir l'chol ho'amim, to give light to all the nations, but not chasasom, that it could be misunderstood that the goyim were allowed to worship the astronomical bodies in the sky. Next pasuk says, Vayelech vayavod elokim achirim. And then it continues more in the Pasuk, and it says, Asher lo tzivisi li'ovdom. Now, that's not what the Pasuk said. The Pasuk said, just Asher lo tzivisi. So, it implied that HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command them. So, therefore, it says, Asher lo tzivisi li'ovdom. And that's why it says specifically that they didn't worship them. Otherwise, it could have been misunderstood that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not Tzivisi, that he didn't command them, he didn't create them, that somebody else created them. So that's why that interpretation was added. Then they changed around the following word, the Kosulo, and they wrote for Talmai that when it was listing the non-kosher animals that had characteristics of kashrus, there are three animals that chew their cud, but they don't have split hooves, and one of them is the Arneves, usually translated as the rabbit. But his wife's name was Arneves, so therefore they didn't want to have him think that they were making fun of her and calling her a non-kosher animal. That's how Talmai might have thought. So therefore, they wrote Es Tzi'ira Saraglayim, the short-legged animal, which refers to the rabbit, the Lo Kosulo, the Es Arneves, Mipnei, She'ishto, Shel Talmai, Arneves Shema. Her name was Arneves, and therefore they might have misunderstood and been very upset that they were calling Talmai's wife a non-kosher animal. Okay. Shlo Yomar, as the Gemara tells us, Shlo Yomar, Socha could be a Yudim. Talmud would say, hey, they're making fun of me. V'tilu shem ishti b'Torah. And they put my wife's name in the Torah just to make fun of me and call her a non-kosher animal. Okay. So these are the changes that they all were maskim to separately. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put the eitzah in their heads. And this was the Targum Shivim that they wrote out. It was written in Yevanis. And therefore, Rosh Hashanah says that the rabbis, once this was already written in Yevanis, so they allowed, technically, Sefer Torah to be written in Yevanis, even though they didn't allow it for any other language. That's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. And now we quote Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in the Gemara. We quote the Mishnah. Shimon Gamliel Omer, Af Bisvarim Lo Yitiru Sheikasu El Yevanis. Our Mishnah had said that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel only allowed it to be written in Yevanis and not in any other language. Am Rabbi Yavo, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yavo says the name of Yochanan. Halacha, we paskin, ki Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. We paskin like this, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion. Furthermore, the Amar of Yochanan, another statement that Yochanan made, my time, Mother Rishon Gamliel, what was his rationale for allowing it to be written in Yevanis, but no other language? So I'm akra, because he says, Yafto Elokim Yefes, V'yishkom B'olei Shem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that Yefes is beautiful, and we allow him to be in Olei Shem. So Yefes is the Greek language, it's a beautiful language, and it is allowed to be in Olei Shem. In other words, the Torah could be written in Greek. Tvarim Shal Yefes, the words of Yefes, Yubi Ol Hashem, could be even in the Ol Hashem. In other words, in the base Medrash, there could be a Sefer Torah that was written in Greek. I, how do you know that this was Yefes? Maybe Veimer Gomer Umogo, maybe it refers to a different language, a different nation that descended from Yefes. Maybe it was the nation of Gomer. So it could be written in the Gomer language or the Magog language. I said, don't think that for a second. Amr Chia Barabba, Hainu Taima. It says Yefes specifically will be beautiful. Yefes, the name Yefes is a lashon of beauty. And Yofuso shall Yefes, only the beauty of Yefes, not Gomer or Mago, but only the beauty of Yefes, Yebol Hashem, will be able to be in Shem. And that's why Rishon Gamliel said that it could be written in the Greek language. That concludes this very interesting discussion on the Mishnah. And we go to the next Mishnah, another Ein Bein, another, there's no difference between this and that except for this. So Ein Bein, there is no difference between Kohen Moshuach, B'Shem and HaMishcha, between the Kohen Gadol that was anointed with the special Shem and HaMishcha that Moshe Rabbeinu made, that it was the only time that they really made it, and it lasted forever. It had the properties of never going away. Some suggest that this was the Shem and HaMishcha, was what they found for the Pach Shemen for Hanukkah, and that's why it never got used up. In any event, there's no difference between a Kohen that was Moshuach with Shem and HaMishcha as opposed to when Yoshio hid away the Shem and HaMishcha towards the end of the first base of Mikdush. So then the Kohanim Gedolim didn't have anointment with the Shem and HaMishcha. They just put on the eight garments that the Kohen Gadol wore, and they're called the Merubah B'Gadim. And there is no difference, the Mishnah tells us, between a Kohen that was anointed with the Shem and HaMishcha versus a Kohen Gadol that was only the Kohen Gadol because he wore the eight garments, the Merubah B'Gadim. The only difference between them is Ela Par Habor Al Kol HaMitzos. Normally, if a person makes a mistake and does bishkaga, a sin that would be chayev, kares, or bisabidei based in, so then in that situation, he has to bring a chatos, which is normally a seira, that he brings to atone for his sin. However, the Kohen Gadol, if he makes such an error, he paskins incorrectly on something, so then he has to go and bring a par. This is called the par of the Kohen Gadol. And therefore, the only difference between the Kohen who's Moshuach B'Shem and HaMishcha versus the Kohen Gadol who's Merubah B'Gadim, so these two Kohanim Gedolim, the only difference between them is that the Merubah B'Gadim does not bring a par of Bala Mitzvos, he just brings a regular Seira like anybody else, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol who's Moshuach B'Shem and HaMishcha, so he brings a par for his sin. That's the only difference between them. Then the Mishnah tells us also, Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish LeKohen Sheavar. There is no difference between the Kohen Gadol. When we refer to Kohen here, in all of these cases, we're talking about a Kohen Gadol. So there is no difference between a Kohen Gadol that was Mishamish, and then he had a Psul, and another Kohen had to become the Kohen Gadol on a temporary basis, and that's called the Kohen Sheavar. So Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish LeKohen Sheavar. A Kohen that once was the Kohen, but now no longer is the Kohen again, because the original Kohen Gadol now came back. So the only difference between these two Kohanim, according to the Tanah of our Mishnah, is El Par Yom HaKippurim. Can you go bring the par of Yom Kippur? The Kohen Gadol had to bring the special par to atone for himself, his family, and all the Kohanim. That's the par of Yom Kippur that the Kohen Gadol brings. So only the Kohen Gadol, who is the permanent Kohen Gadol, brings that, and not the Kohen Gadol She'ovar. He doesn't bring that. And likewise, the Chavitin, the Machatzitza of the Asiris HaEfah in the morning and the afternoon that the Kohen Gadol brought, that's also only brought by the Kohen Gadol, who is the real Kohen Gadol and not the one that was the temporary Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol She'ovar. Okay, these are the two Ein Beins of our Mishnah. The Gemara now starts off discussing the first one. The implication of the original part of the Mishnah, which is no difference between the Kohen who's Gadol, who's Moshuach, Moshem, and the Mishra, and the Kohen Gadol, who was only a Merubah Begadim, we said the only difference between them is the Par Habar Kol HaMitzos, the mistake that the Kohen Gadol makes. So if he paskins incorrectly and makes a mistake, so if he's only Merubah Begadim, so then he only brings a Seira like everybody else, but if he was the Moshuach with the Shemana Mishra Kohen Gadol, then he brings a par. That implies Holy Inyan, Par Yom HaKippurim, Asirus HaEfah, in regards to the other responsibilities, which the second part of the Mishnah talks about, the difference between the Kohen Gadol, that is the current Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol She'avar, there we said that there is a difference of the Par Yom HaKippurim, that only the Kohen Gadol, who's the current Kohen Gadol, can go and bring that, and the Asirus HaEfah, the Chavitin, that he brings Machtzis HaBoker, Machtzis HaBein, or Aboyim, so that's only brought by the current Kohen Gadol in regards to a Moshuach with the Shemana Mishra versus Merubah Begadim. There is no difference. They both bring the Par Yom HaKippurim and the Asiris HaEfah. Zev Zeh Shavim. They're both the same. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, who is the author of our Mishnah? It cannot be Rav Meir. Masnisin Deloki Rav Meir. Why can't it be Rav Meir? Because the Rav Meir, if it was in fact Rav Meir, for Atanya, we have learned that Rav Meir said as follows. He holds Merubah Begadim may be Par HaBa'al Kol HaMitzos. That the Merubah Begadim does bring the Par HaBa'al Kol HaMitzos. Devi Rav Meir. The Chachamim Omrim Eino Mevi, and the Chachamim say, no, he doesn't bring the Par HaBa'al Kol HaMitzvos. So, therefore, Rav Meir says he does bring the Par HaBa'al Kol HaMitzvos. So, obviously, Rav Meir is not the author of our Mishnah. The Chachamim are the author of our Mishnah. No, why did Rav Meir say the Merubah Begadim is allowed to bring the Par HaBa'al Kol HaMitzvos? So, he says in the Braisa, the Tanya, Moshiach, the Pasuk tells us that if the Moshiach Kohen is the one that sins, so he has to bring a par. And Liela Moshuach B'Shem HaMishcha. That implies that only the Kohen Gadol, who is Moshuach B'Shem HaMishcha, would have to bring the par HaBa'al Kol HaMitzvos. How do we know, according to Rav Meir, this Braisa, Merubah Begadim Inayin, that even the Kohen Gadol that wasn't Moshuach, but he was just Merubah Begadim, he also brings the par HaBa'al Kol HaMitzvos? Talmud Lomer says, HaMoshiach, the extra hey, and teaches us that even the Merubah Begadim goes and does this. That's Rav Meir's drasha. No, the bottom line is, we've explained that our Mishnah is not like Rav Meir, because only Rav Meir held this drasha of HaMoshiach. The Chacham didn't hold the extra hey, taught us this drasha. So, B'mayu Kimna, how have we said our Mishnah goes? The Loki Rav Meir. Oh, our Mishnah is not like Rav Meir. So that's great for the first part of our Mishnah. But the second part of our Mishnah, we'll see, does go like Rav Meir. So if you tell me the first part is not like Rav Meir, so then you would assume the second part is also not like Rav Meir. But that's not true. Ema Sefer, read the second part of the Mishnah. The second part of the Mishnah was Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish LeKohen She'avar. There is no difference between the Kohen Gadol, who was the current Kohen Gadol, and the Kohen Gadol that was only a temporary Kohen Gadol, because the original Kohen Gadol had a psul and the temporary took over. And then once the Kohen Gadol's psul went away, so then the temporary is no longer needed. But there's no difference between them. Elo, Par Yom HaKippurim Asiris HaEfah. That was what our Mishnah said. Implication being, Holuchol Divrayen, for everything else, Zev Zeh Shavim. For doing any of the other Avodos, there's no difference between the Kohen Gadol's current and the Kohen Gadol's Shavar. And along comes Rav Meir. Asan Rav Meir, the Tanya, this is in accord with the opinion of Rav Meir. So the Sefer is only in accord with Rav Meir. It's not in accord with the Chachamim, as we'll see. Because it says in the Brayse, the Tanya, Erebo Psul, Uminu Kohen Acher Tachtov. If the Kohen Gadol had a Psul, he became Tomei, whatever the situation was, and he was temporarily not able to be the Kohen Gadol. So then they were appointing Minu Kohen Acher Tachtov. They had to have a Kohen Gadol. So they appointed a temporary Kohen Gadol after him. And then once the Psul of the first Kohen Gadol goes away, he returns to become the Kohen Gadol. What do you do with the replacement Kohen Gadol? So Rishon Chozer Le'Avodoso. So the opinion is that the first Kohen Gadol, who now returned back to his position, he goes back and becomes the Kohen Gadol. And the second one, Sheni, Kol Mitzvos Kohuna Gedola Olav, Rav Meir, Divrei Rav Meir, he says that the second Kohen Gadol, the temporary Kohen Gadol, retains his status of being a Kohen Gadol. Kol Mitzvos Kohuna Gedola Olav, with the exception of Par Yom Kippurim, that's your Sefer, he doesn't bring, but everything else, he's a Kohen Gadol. Oh, the author of the Sefer is certainly in accord with Rav Meir. That's Divrei Rav Meir. But Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi says, Omer Rishon Chozer Levodos. So yeah, the first Kohen Gadol who had the Psul, and now the Psul went away, he goes back to become the Kohen Gadol. But the poor second guy, that he was the Kohen Sha'avar, he was the Kohen Gadol for a temporary period of time, and now he's no longer the Kohen Gadol, so he's stuck, he's in limbo. Ain Oroi, lo le Kohen Gadol. He can't be Kohen Gadol, we'll see in a moment why not. But he can't go back to being a Kohen Hedjot, lo le Kohen Hedjot. So he's in limbo, he's neither. He's not a Kohen Gadol, he's not a regular Kohen. Why? From Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi said, this once happened. Ma'aseh b'Rav Yossi ben Ulam mitzipori. This coin, Rav Yossi ben Ulam, who came from the city of Tzipori, she'era bo psul b'koin gadol. During his time, the coin gadol had a psul. Uminuhu taftov, and they appointed Rav Yossi ben Ulam mitzipori to be the replacement coin gadol. And then, after the original coin gadol, his psul went away. Uba ma'aseh v'chacham. This situation, this story came to the chachamim. And they passed in the Amru, the Rishon, the first Kohen Gadol, who had the temporary Psul, and now returned to become the Kohen Gadol. He returns to become the Kohen Gadol. Rishon Chozer Levodoso. However, Sheni, this poor Rav Yossi ben Ulam Mitzipari, ain't a Roy Lola Kohen Gadol. He can't be a Kohen Gadol. Again, we'll explain this why not in a moment. And he can't go back to being a Kohen Hedjot, Lola Kohen Hedjot. He's stuck. He's in limbo. Why? Why couldn't he go back to one of the two? So he can't become the Kohen Gadol still. Kohen Gadol, Mishum Eva. You can't have two leaders. You can't have two Kohanim Gedolim. That's not good. It's going to lead to jealousy. It's going to lead to Eva. It's going to lead to fighting between them. So therefore, there has to be one Kohen Gadol. So therefore, this Kohen Sha'avar, this case, Rav Yossi ben Ulam Mitzipori, can't stay on as a second Kohen Gadol. There can only be one because of this Eva that would occur, this hatred that would occur between them if there were two Kohanim Gedolim. No, who's going to be the Kohen Gadol for this Avodah? Who's going to be Kohen Gadol for this Avodah? It's going to constantly lead to fights. So he can't stay on and retain the status of Kohen Gadol. Oh, let him go back to be a Kohen Hedjot. That also is no good. Kohen Gadol, you can't go back to be Kohen Hedjot, Mishum Malim, because Shalom Arida. Because once you're a Kohen Gadol, you can't go back. Once you had an elevated position, you can't go back. So he's in limbo. Now, that's not the author of our Mishnah. Rav Meir is the author of Mishnah. So what do you have? You have Reisha Rabbanim, Vesefer Rav Meir. That's a difficult thing to understand without it telling us specifically. We always have Machlokas and Mishnayot. And it says, Rabbi so-and-so says this, and Rabbi so-and-so disagrees, and he says that. But when you have a Stam Mishnah, you expect it to be all one opinion. So it's difficult to suggest, the Gemara said, that the Reisha is the opinion not of Rabbi Meir, it's the Rabbanan, and the Sefer is specifically the opinion of Rabbi Meir, and not Rabbi Yossi, which is the Rabbanan. So Gemara says, no, that's no problem. That's exactly what happened. There'll be Omer Chista in. Exactly that, Reisha, Rabbanan, Sefer, Rabbi Meir. Yeah, that sometimes happens, and that's what happened over here. That's Teres number one. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Amar, no. Rabbi Yosef said, we have one author of our Mishnah. It's not Rabbi Meir, it's not the Chachamim, it's Rabbi. Rabbi Yosef Amar, Rabbi. Rabbi is the author of our Mishnah, and Rabbi is not obligated to always follow Rabbi Meir. He's also not obligated to always follow the Chachamim. Rabbi used his Das, and he said, in the first situation, the Nosiv Lo Aliba, the Tanai, in the first situation, I hold like the Chachamim, over Rabbi Meir. And therefore, he paskin Ein Bein, between the Merubah Begadim and the Meshuach, that the difference between them is, can you bring the par haboah kol mitzvos? Not like Rav Meir, he passed like the Chachamim. But in the Sefer, he felt that the opinion of Rav Meir was more correct, and he passed like Rav Meir over the opinion of Rav Yossi. Next Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, another one of the Ein Beins, Ein Bein Bama Gedola, a Bama Gedola was the Mizbeach for the Tzibur when the Mishkan was in Gilgal, Nov, and Givon. Those three times, not Shiloh, and not, of course, the Beis HaMikdash, so the din of Bama Gedola applied, which meant that all the Kabbanah Sibur were brought on this Bama Gedola, but individuals were allowed to have their own private Bama, and that's a Bama Kitana. You could have your own backyard Mizbeach. It wasn't forbidden during those periods of time when we were in Gilgal, and Nov, and in Givon. When the Mishkan was in those places, people were allowed to have their own private Bama, what's called a Bama Kitana, and bring their own Nidorim and Nidavos on those private mizbechos that they had in their backyard. So the Mishnah tells us there is no difference into what can be brought on a Bama Gedola and a Bama Kitana. Ein bein Bama Gedola, Bama Kitana, Ella Psochim. A Paisach, a Korban Pesach, can only be brought on the Bama Gedola when it was in Gilgal, Nov, or Givon. That's where you have to go and bring your Korban Pesach, as opposed to all other Korbanos could be brought on your private Bama Kitana. Now, we'll see in a moment what that means. All other Korbanos, it means all other Korbanos that are private nedarim and nedavos are allowed to be brought on your bama katana, and not all other korbanos. Those have to be brought. The tzibur korbanos have to be brought on a bama gedola. In any event, the Mishnah tells us that klal, this is the rule. Kol shu nidor v'nidav kariv bebama. Anything that is a neder or nedava, we had explained previously that a neder is when a person says hareze a lie, he's obligating himself. A nedava, he says harezu, this animal should be a korban. So those are allowed to be brought on kariv bebama kitana. It should say the word kitana over here, on a bama kitana. They're allowed to be brought on a bama kitana. As opposed to, v'kosha eino, lo nidor v'lo nidor, something that's not a neder or nedava, so then eino kariv bebama kitana cannot be brought on a bama kitana, has to be brought on the bama gedola in Gilgal, Nov, or Givon. Now, when we were in Shiloh, and certainly we'll learn the next Mishnah as well, when we were in the Beis HaMikdash, so then during the entire 368 years that we were in Shiloh, so then you weren't allowed to go and have a Bama Katana. But after that, when we were in Nov and Givon, you still were allowed to, again, to return to that din. But once the Beis HaMikdash was built, so then forever, there is no din of Bama Katana anymore, even Nebuch, when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Gemara starts off and says, really, Korban Pesach is the only thing that the difference is between a Bama Gedola and Bama Katana. Only a Pesach has to be brought in a Bama Gedola, and every other Korban can be brought in a Bama Katana. Psachim, Sulal, that doesn't make any sense. That's not true. The Mishnah itself said only Nedarim and Nedavos can be brought on a Bama Katana. So Gemara says, you're right. Ela Ema came Psachim. It didn't only mean the Korban Pesach. It meant something that's like a Korban Pesach. What's the characteristic, the common denominator of Korban Pesach? It's an obligated Korban. You have to bring it at a set time, at a set date, and it's a certain type of carbon. So anything that is an obligation, an obligatory carbon, can only be brought on a Bama Gedola. But the Nedarim and Nedavos, which are your own private donations, your own private voluntary bringing of a carbon, that can be brought on a Bama Katana. Now, who's the author of our Mishnah? Money. So the Gemara says Reb Shimon. It is the opinion of Reb Shimon. Where is that? The Tanya. Because it says, by Reb Shimon Omer, Af tzibor lo hikrivu ela pesachim v'chovo shekavu alehem zman. Even the tzibor only brought korbanos on a bama gedola for things that were obligatory, like the korban pesach, things that were time dependent. Only those were brought on the bama gedola. However, avo chovos she'ein kavu alehem zman, hocha v'hocha lo kari. But any korban which wasn't an obligatory korban, it wasn't set to be brought at a specific time and a specific place, so then they weren't allowed to bring that. Certainly not on a Bama Katana, but they weren't even allowed to bring it during those periods of time when it was in Gilgal, Nov, and Givon. They weren't allowed to bring certain korbanos at all, even on the Mishkan that was in those places on the Bama Gedola. So, for example, a Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibor, according to Rabbi Shimon, could not be brought. It's not a time-dependent, obligatory, you have to bring it this time in this place, so therefore, you wouldn't be having the din of Par Helem Dover Shel Tzibor on a Bama Gedola, according to Rabbi Shimon. Now, the Gemara, where this is found, the Gemara in Zvachim, and Dav Kuf Yud Zayin, so there is the Chachamim's opinion that disagrees with Shimon and says that no, you could bring these things on a Bama Gedola as well. We'll start the next Mishnah, but we won't go into the Gemara. The Mishnah tells us, Ein Bein Shiloh Yerushalayim, another one of the Ein Bein Mishnayis over here. There is no difference between the Mishkan when it was in Shiloh and the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Ella Shebishilo, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, Ochlim Kotchim Kalim Umayser Sheni B'chol Aroa. The din is that you're only allowed to have Kotchim Kalim and Maiser Sheni within the confines of a certain area around either the Mishkan and Shiloh or around the Beis HaMikdash. So the difference over here between Yerushalayim and Shiloh is in regards to what are the limits where you can eat Kotchim Kalim and Maiser Sheni. So in Shiloh, it was wherever you could see, B'chol Aroa. If you were able to see Shiloh, the Mishkan in Shiloh, so then you could still eat Kotcher Kalim or Maisa Sheni. As opposed to in Yerushalayim, any place, Lifnim and Achoma, if you were within the city limits, even though you couldn't see the Harabais, even though you couldn't see the Beis HaMikdash, nevertheless, as long as you're within the city limits of Yerushalayim, you're allowed to eat both Kotcher Kalim and the Maisa Sheni produce. And in both of them, V'kan, Kotcher Kodoshim, in both Mishkan Shiloh and in Yerushalayim, in the Beis HaMikdash, you were only allowed to eat Kotcher Kodoshim, what were called Ne'acholim Lifnim Min HaKloim, within the Kloim. Now the Kloim was a terminology that was used in the Mishkan, it was within the curtains of the Mishkan, and in the Beis HaMikdash there was a wall around the Azara. Nevertheless, we still use this expression, Lifnim Min HaKloim, within the confines of the Azara, within the confines of the area, both in Mishkan Shiloh and in the Beis HaMikdash that was called the Azara, inside that area, that's where Kotcher Kodoshim had to be eaten. Then it tells us, Kedusha Shiloh, when we turn to Yoram Aleph, the Kedusha that was inherent in the Mishkan in Shiloh, that was only Kedusha while the Mishkan was extant. However, once the Mishkan and Shiloh was Nebuch destroyed, so then, in that situation, there is no more Kedusha there. Today, people can go and visit Shiloh, and there is no problem of going to the area even where the Mishkan itself actually was, where the Kodesh Kedoshim was. That is not a problem. Yesh Achara Heta. After it was Nebuch destroyed, so the Mishkan and Shiloh no longer has Kedusha there, and as well, Yesh Achara Heta means that you're allowed to have the Bamos after that period of time. The Kedusha of Shiloh was a Kedusha only while it was in Shiloh, and therefore afterwards we restored or returned to the period of time of Bamo Kitana. As opposed to the Kedusha Shushalayim, the Kedusha that was placed into the Beis HaMikdash, so Ein Achara Heta. There is no Heta afterwards. It still retains its Kedusha, and there is no longer any more heter of a Bama Kitana. Mitzvah Shem will discuss this in the Gemara. With this, we conclude today's shiur.